Well, it's Friday, and you know what that means.
It's fish fry time! Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of EE Journal's long-running electronic engineering podcast called Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. Yes, today we're talking about the hidden security risks of automotive electronic systems today with Adrian Kosoroaba from Windbond. But before we bring in Adrian, let's get into some news you may have missed. So when you think of an automotive energy source, what comes to mind? Well, I'm guessing of all the things you could possibly imagine, tamarind shells wouldn't be one of them. But maybe they should be. So a team of researchers from Nanyang Technological University in Singapore, Western Norway University of Applied Sciences, and Alagappa University in India think they may have found a great way to supply energy to the next generation of vehicles with tamarind shells. Yes, you heard me right, tamarind. So if you don't know, it's a quite tasty tropical fruit eaten quite extensively in Asia. And its shells, which are discarded during food production, are bulky and take up a lot of room in landfills. But this team may have found a way to not only deal with the waste of tamarind shells, but also power our vehicles at the same time. So, funny thing, tamarind shells are actually rich in carbon and can be converted into carbon nanosheets, which are an important component of supercapacitors, which can then be used as energy storage devices in a wide range of vehicles, including buses, trains, and electric vehicles. So how exactly did they get these fruit shells into carbon nanosheets? So first, this team of researchers washed the tamarind shells and then dried them at 100 degrees Celsius for around 6 hours. And then the shells are then ground down into a powder. That powder is then put back into a furnace for about an hour and a half at somewhere between 700 and 900 degrees Celsius. It's this process that allows the powder to then be converted into ultra-thin sheets of carbon. So why is this important? Well, until now, one of the most common materials to make carbon nanosheets out of is industrial hemp fibers. But hemp, on the other hand, has to first be heated to over 180 degrees Celsius for over 24 hours. And then after that, they have to be subjected to even more heat to convert them into nanosheets. So how do these tamarind shells perform as carbon nanosheets? Pretty great, actually. This team of researchers found that they performed quite great in terms of their thermal stability and electric conductivity, making them a great candidate for energy storage. In the future, this team is also investigating other fruit skins and shells for this kind of carbon nanosheet production. For their tamarind nanosheets in particular, their next steps will be to improve the electrochemical properties of the nanosheets themselves and to go into a larger scale production of these nanosheets with their agricultural partners. They also plan on working to reduce the energy needed for the production process and make the whole process more environmentally friendly. So if you want even more information about this super cool tamarind supercapacitor research project, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. All right, it's time to bring in Adrian from Windbond and talk about the hidden security risks of automotive electronic systems. Hi, Adrian. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hello, Amelia. Nice to be here.
Okay, so first off, for my audience who may not know, what is Windbond all about?
Well, Windbond is a specialty memory IC company based in Taiwan. And we have product design, research and development, and wafer fabrication. We also provide total memory solutions. So Windbond's major product lines include the Cold Storage Flash Memory, also known as NOR Flash, Trust Me Secure Flash, which is one we'll talk more about today, and specialty DRAM and mobile DRAM.
Excellent. So we are talking about the hidden security risks of automotive electronic systems today, which is super cool, Adrian. So the newer capabilities found in today's cars are making these security risks even more important than ever before, right? Adrian, what do you see is the root of the problem here?
Well, it is a problem, but also a challenge. And there are two driving factors. The first one is the evolution of the car into a highly intelligent and connected system. And the second factor is the higher risks that come with these connected systems. So as we all know, advanced electronic functionality has been added to automotive systems with each generation, from advanced driver systems to gateway, powertrain, infotainment, and vehicle-to-vehicle and V2X. So this autonomy and connectivity brings new risks, and those are coming from cyber attacks. So software updates and communication between endpoints are prone to these cyber attacks. So some estimates are that the average car today contains more than 100 electronic control units and about 100 million lines of software code. That's a lot of code. But the number is projected to reach even higher numbers. So issue becomes one that needs to be addressed by all embedded systems and not only automotive. So it is the enabling of the appropriate protection mechanism for preserving the integrity of code and critical data. Now, these protection mechanisms are particularly relevant around the flash memory that has become a key component of automotive systems. The problem is that some of these solutions are based on legacy technology and architectures that don't have the proper certification to guarantee both security and safety.
So, Adrian, what do you see as a solution to these issues?
Now, in automotive systems, safety and security are fundamental requirements to guarantee a tolerable level of risk, as defined by ISO 26262 standard. Now, these risks are managed by car manufacturers and subsystem providers, but functional safety is now also the responsibility of IC manufacturers, including the flash memory that stores critical code and data. Now, security is all about hiding the information and encrypting everything to prevent leakages via sophisticated mechanisms such as side channel. So data stored in flash array must be mixed and encrypted, and the communication channel must be strongly encrypted. So likewise, safety in automotive systems is about 100% observability, error detection, and maximum disclosure of information. So data should be validated and testing should guarantee very high quality level at around 0 dppm. In addition, defect analysis should allow quality improvement and fault root cause detection.
Okay, so Adrian, for my audience who may be creating automotive electronic systems, what kind of questions should they ask themselves when it comes to security?
Auto manufacturers have a choice in the type of flash technology they adopt. And that decision will play a key role in protecting or exposing the vehicle when it's on the road and in the hands of consumers. So thus, before you decide which flash product to trust for your security and safety, here are some key questions. Is the flash technology common criteria level 5 certified, or at what level? Now, a secure solution is not really secure and trusted without certification. So having common criteria level 5 certification means that the flash memory meets the highest security requirements for any automotive application, including V2V and V2X. Now, with this type of security, the architecture can detect even the smallest unauthorized change in data and immediately report it to the host. The stored data is protected from any unauthorized modification, either intentional or due to fault. Now, any such modification is immediately reported to the host, and the reporting mechanism cannot be blocked. Now, the flash array should also be protected by an extra layer of CRC-based detection code. The flash should incorporate sophisticated logic for detection of any wrong state. The serial or SPI interface protocol should add a layer of both encryption and error detection, making it both secure and safe from errors. Another question is the fab that manufactures your flash solution ISO 26262 certified for safety? Now, ISO 26262 is the road vehicle functional safety standard, which was released in 2011. Is a certification indicator to verify whether the automotive electronic suppliers meet automotive safety integrity level requirements. So ISO 26262, automotive safety certification, includes management of functional safety, concept phase, system level, hardware level, and software level designs and verifications, manufacturing, operation, maintenance, and decommissioning services for the entire product lifecycle. ASIL, or Automotive Safety Integrity Level -4 of ISO 26262 represents the highest level of risk management. So components or systems that are developed for ASIL -4 are made to the most stringent safety requirements. Now, flash devices storing the code for critical card functions should meet high safety requirements and reduce safety risk by providing highly reliable code storage. So a few more questions to ask is your security implementation upgradable and programmable? And what is your root of trust implementation? Does your solution have platform resiliency? Now, it is important for secure solutions to have a level of platform resiliency. Platform resiliency is the ability to not only protect, but also detect and recover from unauthorized changes of code or data. Secure solutions need to have a high-level platform resiliency so that it can evolve and adapt over time to protect the system from breaches. Now, with traditional ROM or embedded flash approaches that are used by MCUs and system-on-chips, a software implementation is used whereby the root of the trust code is stored in a ROM. Now, these systems lack upgradability and have no resiliency for future attacks. The ROM code cannot be changed. Now, in contrast, the more modern approaches are based on an MCU and SoC, along with a programmable secured flash. Now, these solutions use an implementation based on both software and hardened hardware, which allows it to be programmable and also upgradable. Now, this type of programmable hardware-based root of trust can be continuously updated to contend with ever-increasing range of threats and provide the platform resiliency, the ability to protect, detect, and also recover from unauthorized changes of code.
Okay, so Adrian, where do you see security in terms of automotive design headed in the future?
Well, security will become a fundamental requirement for future cars. Future cars will be more autonomous, more of them will be electric, and be highly connected. So we'll have more security regulations that will drive these hardware security implementations, and also a proliferation of specialized both SoCs and memory solutions specifically designed for automotive grade, as well as security certification and safety standards applied for automotive applications.
All right, Adrian, I think it is time for your off-the-cuff question now. Adrian, since you haven't been on my show, we're doing a little COVID special these days. It seems like we've been in lockdown forever. It's getting better, certainly, but a lot of us can't get our favorite foods. So, Adrian, if you could have one food right now, doesn't matter if you need a passport to get there, the restaurant is closed, or it's on the other side of the world, what would you have?
Well, something healthy, like a Greek salad with a lot of feta cheese, a lot of tomatoes, cucumbers, and olives, a little bit of dried oregano.
That sounds wonderful. Well, Adrian, it was a pleasure speaking with you today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Pleasure was mine as well. Thank you for having me on.
And before we go, don't forget to check out my brand new maker-themed monthly fish fry podcast series called Makers Today. Our second episode of this series launched earlier this week, and in this episode, I chat with Lorraine Underwood about the hashtag Badass Women Makers and Engineers project at Element 14, the cool projects she has created over the years, and why she wrote the book Save the World with Code. And hey, if you're a maker and you'd like to be featured on this series, please let me know. You can send me an email at Amelia, that's A-M-E-L-I-A, at eejournal.com. Send me a message on LinkedIn or Carrier Pigeon, you know, whatever works best for you. And stay tuned for a brand new episode of this series coming next month. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EE Journal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EE Journal TFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out Amelia D. 1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow us or me on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by yours truly. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. And remember, if you'd like to further support this podcast, please leave me a review on that podcasting platform of your choice. Also, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you everyone for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology or heck, you just want to chat, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of July 23rd, 2021, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.